If you have your Bible or a Bible app, turn with me to Philippians 4:13. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It's a familiar scripture. It says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you know this verse has been printed on t-shirts, keychains, tattoos. A couple of years ago, a championship quarterback sported the verse on the glare-reducing strips that he wore under his eyes. But the irony is that when this verse is taken out of context, it can mean the opposite of what it was actually intended to mean. It can become a slogan of personal empowerment, a declaration of self-achievement, ambition, and accomplishment. But in reality, it's nothing of the sort. We're in the middle of a series right now called What's Next, where we look at what comes after some of the most iconic verses of the Bible. So what's next here? Well, the next verse, Philippians 4:14, says this: Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Well, who had troubles and what troubles did he have? If he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him, then why did he have any troubles at all? Well, the book of Philippians is a letter that Paul wrote to express his gratitude and appreciation to the church and the Christian community of Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony in northeastern Greece, which Paul had founded in his first Christian congregation in Europe. This church was one of his strongest supporters in ministry. And so he was writing to them from a jail cell, and he was writing to express his thanks for their gifts, for their support, but also he was writing to give instruction to the church. Paul mentions that the Philippians had revived their concern for him. And he's quick to add that he knows that they had always been concerned, but that they lacked opportunity. And so what we find out is that they had sent him a gift, probably some sort of financial gift, but for some reason, either the gift was delayed or they didn't know to send it because there was a lapse of time, and he says that their concern had been revived. Well, maybe it was lack of funds, or maybe they didn't have a reliable messenger to send the gift. Maybe they didn't know about him's circumstances, but for whatever reason, Paul knew that God was in control. He knew that God knew his need and that God would supply or not supply as he saw fit, while he waited to see if his supporters would reach out to him. Now, here he was in prison, unable to pursue his tent-making business. He was in a tight spot. The word used here is actually the word affliction, and it literally means pressure. He was under pressure. Has anyone ever been there? You know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to face affliction, to face pressure. And it was then that he wrote these letters, these thank you letters to churches and to individuals who were reaching out to him and supporting him. It's interesting, though, when you read these letters, not one time does he mention his financial needs. Rather, he asks them to pray for boldness and faithfulness in his witness. He trusted in and submitted to the sovereignty of God to provide for his needs. And sometimes God provided abundantly. And so that's when Paul learned how to live in prosperity. But sometimes there wasn't support that came. And Paul had to learn to get along with humble means. And I want you to notice here it says this: Paul learned to be content in all conditions. It didn't come naturally to him. It didn't come supernaturally to him. He learned to be content. Now, Paul wrote New Testament books. He preached the gospel. He established churches. But still, even with all of those things, he encountered struggles. Certainly, no person would have a better excuse for complaining than Paul. Look at all the good things I've done for you, God. Look at how I spoke out for you, Jesus. Look at how I've lived my life. Why are these troubles coming? But he went about doing good, and still the worst sort of things constantly happened to him. He was arrested falsely many times. He was unjustly beaten. He got sick. He was thrown into prison. He was shipwrecked. And yet, this man seemed to live day by day with a heart that was content, because he lived with the purpose that only Jesus can give. So in this section of the letter, Paul says that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Well, he's not saying he can do anything. He's not saying he can expand his tent-making business when he gets out of jail. He's not saying that he can become anything he thinks he can be. This is not a message of personal empowerment or a message of self-improvement. What he's talking about is his ability to suffer through anything. You see, this man has had a hard time, time and time again. And what he is saying here is, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul isn't telling Christians that they should dream bigger dreams. He's reminding them that when they have the crushing feelings of defeat and disappointment, and when those dreams fall apart, that it's God who's there with them. He's not encouraging Christians to go out and conquer the world. He's reminding them that they should press on when it feels like the world has conquered them. You know, we don't have a God who motivates us to pursue our own ambitions or our own dreams or even careers or chase down opportunities. We can do that on our own. But for some reason, we're not content knowing that God is with us. We want to be content, but we live in a culture that constantly teaches us that we need more than we have. That's why people stand in line for the most improved versions of their phones, and it's why car companies put out new models every single year. It's why clothing styles always change. In other words, businesses plan to make a profit because they know we will be discontent with what we have. And so, how do we find contentment? Well, we find it in a God who hunkers down when life is hard. He's in the trenches with us, and he isn't afraid to get mucky and messy and wade with us through the hard stuff and the pain and the failure. Let's go write that under our eyes for a football game. Because you see, this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it's a good verse, but when you know the context of it, it's even better. It reminds me of a story I heard about the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. The closing ceremonies had just finished, and the spectators, they were all picking up their belongings, getting ready to leave, when suddenly they hear sirens and they see lights outside of the stadium. And an announcer came on and he asked them to stay in their seats. Well, outside of the stadium, the police sirens and the flash of the blue lights were encircling someone who was making his way into the stadium. The man was John Stephen Arkawari, a marathon runner from Tanzania. The last marathon runner had reached the Olympic Stadium hours earlier, hours before the closing ceremonies even started. The medals had already been awarded, so why was this man so late? Well, he entered the stadium, and the confused spectators soon saw that he was covered in blood. He had taken a fall early in the race. He had whacked his head on the pavement and severely damaged his knee. And he had endured a trampling by the other runners. And finally, he got back up, and when the crowd saw him running in like that, they just rose to their feet, and they were cheering on the injured man who was hours behind as though they were cheering on the gold medal winner. And when he crossed the finish line, there was this thunderous roar, and he was quickly whisked off to a nearby hospital and treated for all of his injuries. The next day, he was interviewed by a reporter, and the first question the journalist asked was this: why, after sustaining the kind of injuries you did, would you ever get up and proceed to the finish line when there was no way that you could possibly win? The runner thought for a minute, and he said this: My country did not send me over 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me to finish one. You know, I think that's the same lesson that Paul has for us here in the Bible. The scripture is about staying in the race, even when it's hard. Finding contentment, even when you know what, this round is not going to go so well for me in this world. Even when we're bruised and we're battered up. We're all guilty of it. We pray, but a lot of times we pray for things to change. We get on our knees when we're in a tough spot and we say, God, please change my situation, change my circumstance, change my job, change where I live, change these relationships I'm in. And we pray and we pray and we pray for things to change. And instead, we should be learning to be content where we are. I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. The scripture is about being joyful, satisfied, steadfast, even when life is hard and your circumstances seem impossible. You see, this verse isn't about winning the race. It's about how you respond when you lose. It's about how you respond when you don't even get past the starting line, or when you're bloodied on the ground and people just trample on you. Or it's how you feel when you don't even make the team or the cut altogether. It's not about getting that new job or that new house. It's about finding your satisfaction in the job you already have and the house you already own. This is not a verse about being empowered to change your circumstances. Rather, it's a verse about relying on God's power in order to be content in the midst of circumstances that you can't change. And so, this iconic verse, is it as good as we think it is? I think no. I think it's even better. Because it's not just saying, I can do anything. I can will myself to do anything through God. It's saying, God will be with me when I feel like I can't do anything. When everything has fallen apart. When things aren't working out. When I'm that last runner running in, bloodied and bruised. But I am still focusing on finishing the race. Y'all, that's the gospel right there. And I think that's a lesson that Paul still has for us today. And so as we go into this next week, our challenge is this. Every single time we think of a circumstance in our life and we feel like we want to pray for the circumstance to change, what would happen if instead we pray, God, make me content with this. I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for maintaining these words from an old letter from the Apostle Paul. They're so relevant for us today, and we're running the same race that Paul did, and some days we feel like we're doing well, and other days we just wonder if this race is ever going to end. And some days we feel like giving up, we feel like quitting. God, we ask you to help us keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to let go of things that weigh us down, and help us each day to make the goal to know Jesus a little bit more. And God, help us to rely on Christ to endure all things. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you go into this next week, I want you to remember Paul. And I want you to remember that he endured suffering and hardship, and he was a servant of God. And so all of those times that we ask ourselves, why me? We should really say, why not me? But I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so every time this week you start to pray for change of circumstance, I want you to instead pray for God to make your heart content. And we'll see where we are next week. May God bless you and keep you.